Hey, everybody, this is Tim, and you know what? We recorded the show Wednesday night, which would have been January 16th, and we had a little bit of technical difficulty. Autumn, who comes in from the state of Maryland through the magic of modern technology, was not picked up by our recording device. So I've gone through the show and edited it as much as possible so it's not distracting to you, the listener, and I think we did all right. So anyway, on to the show. This week's episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Mike Spittler, Sean Hall, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, and Eric Malmstrom.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the ottoman.
Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end.
But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Oh. What movie could possibly be worth driving 260 miles round trip for?
It's a new film called Revenge of the Nerds. It's about a group of nerd college students who are being picked on all the time by the jocks. So they decide to take revenge.
So what you're saying is you identify with those nerds?
Yes, I consider myself a nerd, and this movie has uplifted me.
I said leave him alone.
What did you say?
You heard me.
I'm break his goddamn neck. He doesn't
you will do nothing of the sort. Don't touch that boy.
Says who?
Says me. You asshole.
Hold it, coach.
You just hold it right there.
Our first of two finalists, Frederick W. Polowatsky. Ogre, you asshole. Ogre. And from the Lambda Moo team, Dudley Dawson.
Booger.
Booger.
So I had a choice. Do we have no food for you? Because we have a shutdown. Or do we give you some little quick salads that the first lady will make along with the second lady? They'll make some salads. And I said, you guys aren't into salads.
Joe Louis had come out of retirement to fight Rocky Marciano. The man was 76 years old. Joe Louis always lied about his age. He lied about his age all the time. One time, Frank Sinatra comes out here and sat down in this chair. And I said, Frank, you hang out with Joe Louis. Just between me and you, how old is Joe Louis? You know what Frank told me? He said, hey, Joe Louis 137 years old. 137 years old.
Oh, man, you ain't never meet no Frank Sinatra.
Fuck you! Fuck you and fuck you!
Who's next?
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malkin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, Season 4, Episode 3. Tim Andrews, Stephanie Swain.
Hello.
Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
Autumn Fisher. And coming up later on the show, we have a big interview. These guys talk to one of their heroes, and please tell us who the hero is.
Mr. John Glazer from shows such as Delocated, yeah. Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, yeah. Parks and Recreation, and currently, John Glazer loves gear.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I can't wait to hear that, man.
I hope it come out.
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen.
I'm not allowed to listen?
No.
Why not? Yeah, oh, because I'm not, like, they gave, these guys, a secret, they came to me and said, hey, can we interview John Glazer? Jeff texted me, and I'm like, who? But I'm a dick. because I don't watch an awful lot of stuff anymore. And I went ahead and Googled him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Duh. So, yes, of course, we can interview him.
Well, and then not to mention, like, he was a writer on Conan for quite a while.
He was also, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but he was a writer on Dana Carvey's show. I wish I could have had a chance to ask him about
dang,
that.
Oh, dang, Jeff, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to cut you out on that one.
Dana Carvey show. So he worked with Colbert and Stephen Carell.
Right, and Spike Feresten. And
nice.
That writer's room was like a murderer's row of
Louis C.K. was jacking off. In it.
There was no women in there.
He also
didn't want him to.
He appears on that documentary, that Too Funny to was it Too Funny to Fail?
Yeah,
Dana Carvey show.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was really great good. Documentary.
Well, so you know, listen to the show and you'll hear the interview later.
Yeah, I hope you guys like it.
Oh, you said do it. What movie is that from? Starsky and Hutch. Do it. You guys want to start off with some news and shit?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do it. Rest in peace, Mel Stottlemyre.
Who
you guys
the hell
know
is
who
that?
That is?
No.
He was the
Yankees coach. And
he was a pitching coach for the Yankees, one of the guys responsible for their 90s run and their early 2000s run. Mel Stottlemyre also was a pitcher, and he was a real nice guy. I met him a couple of times in my life. Always really, really nice. And if you're a Yankees fan and you go way back to the 70s, and even before that, I guess, then you'll know who it is. And you know, rest in peace, Stottlemyre.
Great name.
Yeah, good name. Great name.
Yeah.
Another great name. Carol Channing. 97 years old. That woman, and she looked good. She talked like
But you know,
that.
I confused her with Sherry Lewis. That's why I asked
you
guys
did.
If they buried her with lamb chop. And
yeah. One of our little secrets is whenever a celebrity dies, Jeff texts us and says, why'd you kill so-and-so? And Steph replied, are they going to bury her with lamb chop?
Jeff very quickly, that was Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis. Now, who did Kukla, Fran, and Ollie? That's not Sherry Lewis, right? Yeah. They're all dead. I fucked Ollie, not Kukla, though. So, Gavin Smith, poker player at 50 years old. Who's this fella?
Hey, he was a poker player.
Speak up there, asshole.
See him on the World Series of Poker all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm. Canadian dude.
God, 50
Real
years
funny
old.
Dude.
That makes me... I'm paranoid about that.
I bet he... I haven't heard the cause of death, but I bet he had that sleep apnea thing.
Oh.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather go at 50?
No, I don't want to die.
In your sleep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know.
Other than that, then like maybe 78 and you're like in the throes of cancer on your deathbed for 2 years.
I don't know. Why not, right? 78 years old is a big difference.
He was
from 50.
A good guy, though, and funny dude on poker. You'd see him on all the big cash games and stuff.
God, I went through a big poker app phase just playing it all day long. And now I have, speaking of phase, I've phased out games where I have to play them.
I'm back on playing against Mark Arum.
Well, that's playing
poker.
Against one person, and that's cool. But I get on these games, and I'm playing the World Series of Poker app. Before that, it was the DC Legends app, which I played for a year and a half every single day. But
I've been playing that Futurama game since it came out. I'm almost done with it.
But don't you get...
I have one mission left.
You become a slave to these games on your phone.
I got to go in there a couple times a day just to collect all the money, the free money they give you.
Family Guy game
the family
was the same.
Game, I go in there maybe once every once or twice a week and just see what's going on.
Yeah, but when it first came out, I was hardcore. I would even spend money on it.
Yeah.
When do you guys have time to do this shit?
Just taking a shit, a traffic light, a church.
Hands free, man.
When your wife's talking.
Oh, wow.
So now I only have one app. I have a game app. It is the, someone asked me, hey, what are you playing? And I showed him the app. It went, the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, exciting, wow.
Like I'm really into the Family Guy Candy Crush game, another freaking mobile game.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend any money. It's
I know,
like,
but that's a game.
It's fun, though.
I can't talk to you right now, Dad. I'm playing Candy Crush.
1,700 levels so far, and I've beat every single one of them.
Holy shit.
I know.
Do they have a TV Guide crossword puzzle?
Oh, awesome.
Because that's what I love.
Yeah, oh, you like that one?
Yeah.
You can do 20 of them in 5 minutes.
Dude, I used to do them with my step-grandma, Polly. She would be sitting there doing it, and she would have me massage her feet with Avon Silk and Smooth or whatever the hell lotion.
Gross.
While she did the crossword puzzle and asked me questions. I was...
Yeah. Nah, how's my feet? Rub my feet. Get the cards. I don't do a Midwest accent very well.
No, it was more... There's a lot of you know. It's because it's not as North Dakota. It's not like that.
That's everybody's default.
Yeah, it's not that.
The Finger Lakes accent isn't like that either. The Finger Lakes accent is pretty simple. It's base. It's just
Tilly.
Not make sure you're... No, that's not... That was way up north, northeastern New York State.
That was a little Finger Lakes.
Yeah, but they got it wrong. It shouldn't have been that way. Now, the guy did it right, but the... Okay, we're talking about the accents
Escape,
on
Escape from
Dannemora. But if you're talking about simple Great Lakes accent in that part of New York, central and western New York, it's basically you tack to your nose and you don't really do anything other than that.
So, okay, I
you
gotcha.
You don't move your lips flat, and you know, you don't. You're
cover
not,
charge.
You're not really.
I ain't paying no fucking cover charge.
What's that from?
That's a Mansfield accent.
Oh, I ain't paying no fucking cover charge. But you know, you don't really, you know, you don't really do the accent in a way, you know, like Finger Lakes Chat. Speaking of Finger Lakes Chat, we have a guest coming up that you might like. We ain't gonna say, we'll tell you in a little bit. All right, so more news. Well, let's see. The Sopranos prequel. Are you guys gonna be into this movie, The Many Saints of Newark?
I don't know anything about this.
You don't?
They've cast a few people.
Yeah, John Bernthal and Vera Farmiga.
I'm in.
Yeah.
And
who else?
Corey Stoll.
Who's Corey Stoll going to play?
I don't know who he's going to play. Uncle Junior?
That's who he's got. He's bald, so he's obviously right. Going to be Uncle Junior.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
And from my favorite show, Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Billy Magnuson.
Yeah. Who's he playing?
I don't know who he'll play in the Sopranos movie, but yeah. He's great in Get Shorty.
Look at you already saying Get Shorty is your favorite show.
This week it is. I watched the entire thing.
The only person that's cast will be Christopher Moltisanti's father, Dickie Moltisanti, played by Alessandro Nivola. And this is going to be set during the Newark riots in the 60s.
And this is going to be a movie?
It's a movie. Well, listen, The Sopranos originally was a movie. He did the pilot.
This is David Chase?
Yeah.
David Chase.
This? Okay.
Yeah. And he was going to do a movie. And you know, HBO picked it up and they turned it into the series. But so I think that's what he's doing with this. It may lead to a series. It may not. But HBO will probably air it.
Is it going to be an HBO movie or at the box office movie?
It'll be HBO movie. Now, The Many Saints of Newark is a callback to what Livia Soprano, Tony's mother, used to say about Tony's father. He was the saint.
Right.
I wish the Lord would take me now. Now, I don't like that talk. So that's good news. And John Bernthal is a good actor. And I like him.
Is he playing Tony?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Tony would have been maybe 4 years old, five years old.
In the 60s, he wouldn't.
Or maybe 10.
He'd play Tony's dad.
That's what I'm thinking he's going to play. And so that'll be cool. And again, Vera Farmiga, she's great. So, speaking of money grabs, and I don't think this is a money grab, even though it is, Jason Reitman, you know who he is?
Yes.
His father,
Ivan.
Ivan Reitman, producer.
Oh, Ivan, yeah.
Ivan, who did the first two Ghostbusters movies. Well, Ghostbusters has risen from the dead. You know, they died a couple years ago when they made that awful, Paul Feig made that shitty fake
the
Ghostbusters movie.
The only thing
movie.
They had to do to make that movie good was
to cast men?
No, to make it canon.
Yeah.
They already have
right.
particle accelerators and shit because the Ghostbusters fucking existed.
Right, they should have made it canon.
Right.
Yeah.
And also cast other people.
No, those people were funny.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, well, the other...
No, Kate McKinnon was great.
Yeah, I don't know why he couldn't take what he did with Bridesmaids and other movies like that and then parlay that into this.
He didn't have enough reverence for the source material.
That's true.
That's the whole thing.
He didn't love it.
No, he just thought, hey, we'll put these people together. They'll go crazy. It'll be like Bridesmaids and everybody will fucking laugh. But no, he didn't take the source material seriously enough.
Well, both Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson are excited about this. Ghostbusters, what's it being called? Ghostbusters 20?
Yeah, because it comes out in 2020.
But it'll be Ghostbusters 3, ostensibly set in the same universe, so it's canon.
But modern day.
Modern day. And they're also doing an animated film set in that universe as well.
I used to love the Ghostbusters cartoon.
The real Ghostbusters? Or the
loved it. Wasn't it great?
What was the other Ghostbusters cartoon?
With Larry Storch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares about that? So it looks like everything's going. And, you know, I saw a couple of people. Lawrence Kasdan's son was tweeting about, I'm going to remake one of my dad's movies. It's like, you know what? People want this. It's not a remake.
Yeah,
it is a continuation.
Yeah.
And the last one was so disappointing for fans. This one...
And do it now while he can still get his dad on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Is Bill going to be in this?
Who?
Is Bill going to be in it?
Who knows?
If Bill was in the last one, he'll show up in this one, hopefully in a main role, but If not, then he'll do a cameo at least.
Well, they got to play themselves, right?
Right.
Their characters.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't have Bill, I mean, you already don't have Harold Ramis.
Right.
So if you don't have Bill, I don't give a shit.
Right, right.
I'm not going to watch
it. I want Aykroyd for sure. If you are...
I like the black one.
I like it, the black one. That's from old Saturday Night Live, bitch. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I like it, the black one. So if you're worried about Jason Reitman as a director, don't worry about it.
He's done some decent stuff.
He directed, what did he direct? Juno, Thank You for Smoking. I love both of those movies. What? You don't like those movies? Oh, you went, eh. His most recent film was The Front Runner.
And, yeah, that film here in Atlanta.
Yeah, with, it was about Gary Hart.
Yep.
I haven't got to see that yet. I heard it was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it, too. We did a banner for whatever
your company?
Yeah, we did whatever university Gary Hart went to. We did a fake school banner for that school.
And that's cool. Reitman's also doing an untitled Diablo Cody project, which you can feel free to skip. Did you guys see Jake Gyllenhaal in the Mysterio getup?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah? What'd you think?
It was all right.
I love Spider-Man.
I don't know much about Mysterio.
You don't?
No.
He's a cool villain.
I thought he looked kind of Thor-ish.
No, he puts... Well, you didn't see him put the dome on his head?
No.
That's Mysterio's thing. He has a giant glass dome on his head. And in the old cartoons or in the comic books, it was always smoky inside of his helmet.
Oh.
So he's a cool villain. I didn't think they'd ever go that route to use Mysterio because they did the Green Goblin... And they've done most of them.
Yeah.
They did that weird jacked up Electro.
Doc Ock was the best.
Doc Ock was the best. Although I kind of really like the Green Goblin because I'm a big fan of Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, he was great too.
But there hasn't been a Spider-Man movie that I disliked except for Spider-Man 3.
Tobey
Maguire. Too many villains.
Yeah. And the Sandman, that was just lame.
But the guy was good as Sandman. I thought Spider-Man 1 and 2 were amazing.
Whoa, have you been eating toadstools?
Huh?
It was Lowell.
Yeah. Tonight
Thomas
on Wings.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Nah, who cares? Remember that?
Who cares? Yeah, tonight.
Simpsons Tonight on Wings.
The Family Guy, right?
Nah, who cares? No, I think it was The Simpsons because they were on against it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
This week on The Simpsons, Homer texted Lisa that gif of him backing into
something. Yeah, I saw that. Nope. So, obviously, I guess we know that Spider-Man is back, unless this is a prequel. I don't know.
We just pretend like the James Garfield ones didn't happen. We just pretend like that didn't happen.
They're all right. No, I don't mind them.
Spider-Man died in the last Avengers movie. So
right.
We got to figure out if this is set
before that or after.
Before the last Avengers movie, or is the new Avengers movie going to come out before this?
I don't know.
It has to, because he's dead in that one, right?
Right, but there's another new Avengers movie coming out, and I guess they'll bring him back. Because comic book characters never really die.
I don't know jack shit about shit.
I just think James Garfield, he didn't embody Spider-Man. He didn't look like him. He has Shire face, like the daughter on Ray Donovan. He's got like the big forehead.
She has a Shire face now.
Yeah, and so does he, though, but he's got the big forehead and then the small mandible.
What's the new kid's name? Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's perfect.
As a teenage Peter Parker, he is perfect.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire was the young college adult or whatever, the working.
Yeah.
And I didn't really buy him, but he was good. Mm-hmm. But this guy is the real Peter Parker. A couple more money grabs to talk about. So Steven Spielberg met with some Puerto Ricans to talk about West Side Story concerns because apparently Steven Spielberg's remaking it. So he had to go to Puerto Rico and make sure everything. It's a fucking musical that was made in the 50s? Or early 60s?
Yeah.
No interest in this. Fuck you. It doesn't need to be remade.
And then we like... Just a bunch of dancing around, right? And chinos.
And you don't have to go to the woke tour. It's like they're digging it up, and it basically is the cinematic thing. It's the cinematic equivalent of knocking over a Confederate statue. So, no hard pass, as the young people like to say.
I think we should stop calling them Puerto Ricans and call them Americans.
Well, they are Americans.
That's what I'm saying.
They self-identify as Puerto Ricans. I'm from Puerto Rico.
That is so... Wow.
What? So wow.
I don't think they all do that, Tim.
Ocasio-Cortez plays it up.
Oh, God.
My abuela. I don't talk about her.
Stop beating off to her every night and obsessing.
You stop saying it like you used to say it. We know you're not a fan of hers anymore.
Well, you know she goes AOC. She, that's how she likes to be referred to as. And I call that AOC. So I'm going to do a drawing, AOC the taxer.
I figured you'd do her as ATM.
No, ATM, ass to mouth. You think she does that? Or did you mean something else?
No, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
You said ASC. I was just throwing another acronym at you.
Everything I've done to try to block her from being in my Twitter feed, it's impossible because somebody will tweet a screen grab from her thing. I'm like, why? Stop it.
You're the one that started it.
No, I like Twitter. Shut up, Eric. I love Twitter. I love being a shit poster.
It's not fun anymore.
It never was.
Did you see Phil Hendry on the you haven't watched it since Roseanne left, right?
No.
He was on the Conners.
I might watch it for that. One more money grab. Eddie Murphy confirms a Coming to America sequel.
If this was a money grab, you would have done it when he needed money 20 years ago, well, maybe, or 10 years ago.
He did just have his 10th kid.
Yeah. But still, you never know. It could be good. The original was so fucking funny.
It's still dated.
If Arsenio is involved, I think it'll be funny.
Yeah, and Arsenio needs to be in it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be his kid. He finds that he had a kid when he was here before he met his wife or whatever.
No.
Are they going to CGI James Earl Jones into it?
James Earl Jones is alive. He's not dead. Okay.
He's got to be, what, 95?
No.
This is CNN. Yes.
He was a college roommate of our professor from college.
Who?
Vern Lapps.
Vern Lapps, they were buddies?
Yep, they were roommates.
Did they stay friends?
He was born in 31. Yeah, that's how we got James Earl Jones to come to Mansfield.
Ah. I like that movie he did with what's her name? Really, he's a boxer. Jane Alexander. Great White Hope.
Oh, yeah.
He's 87.
So he's had a kid. I wonder if Art Buchwald wrote this one.
Yeah. This kid is going to be the heir to Zamunda, right? So he's got to go somewhere.
Sowing his wild oats.
I'm going to go ahead and call this and say this is going to be crap.
I think you're probably onto something.
If Arsenio is in it and him and Eddie get silly, I think it'll still be good.
I hope they have the barbers and the old Jewish guy. So speaking of Coming to America, I think we've either said it or we will say it later. I don't know where I'm going to put it in the show, but that will be our very first movie club. So, Autumn, why don't you tell people about that real quick?
The Movie Club is a once-a-month podcast that we're going to put out exclusively for the $10 and up Patreon donators. Tim and I will watch a movie and we'll record a podcast afterward breaking it down. But before that, we will post on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TimAndrews, what movie we're going to watch, and we'll take questions or comments, things to look out for, so that when we watch the movie, we'll think about what you guys have told us to look out for, maybe, and then also answer any questions that you might have about the movie, and we'll send that out every month. Our first movie that we've chosen for Movie Club is Coming to America, in honor of the newly announced sequel, and Tim and I think we're going to be watching that on the 26th of January. So keep a lookout on Patreon for us to post about it so that you can ask your questions and submit them before we watch the movie.
Thank you. Speaking of Patreon, we got a question from one of our patrons, Sean Hall. We met him. He was on the show. He says, would you guys be interested in meeting up one Saturday or Sunday so I can be your Asian tour guide? I think you would dig some of these places that you might not go to otherwise. Shoya Izakaya. I don't know what that is. Super 8 Mart, Sweet Hut, Miss Gogi.
H Mart.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with Sweet Hut.
What's Sweet Hut?
I know what Super H Mart is, too, because it's right over there by that revolving sushi place that I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big Asian supermarket.
What's Sweet Hut?
Sweet Hut is this awesome Asian bakery / lunch place. Like, they do all these weird burgers and stuff, but their bakery section, it's incredible. You go in, you pick out a tray, and they have all these big plastic containers just filled with all of these different donut thingies and pastry thingies and all the shit. I mean, it's all beautiful. I'm loving, you just pick them off and you put them on the tray.
Oh, you can do that too.
And then you take the tray up there and they weigh it and then they tell you how much you owe. It's not cheap.
I'm going to Google all these places. Miss Gogi.
This would be awesome.
I'm all for this.
Yeah, but we got to get Autumn to come to town and do it.
And you'll do it, right?
I probably will do that. He took me to task last week.
Why?
I don't know if you noticed
that. Hang on.
Let
me finish this thing. White Windmill Bakery, Sun O, Honey Pig, Orange Coffee, which he says some of the best coffee in Atlanta. Oh, my God, I would. Otto says she would. these are people added things to it. I saw that Jeff went to the Conveyor Sushi place recently, and that generated this idea in my head. So, Sean, yes, we would love to go with you and do that. We'll just figure out the time and the date. You ain't nothing
but a hound. This Saturday, January 19th, get yourself out to the downtown Pooch in Roswell and meet some of Barkville's super cuties that will be strutting their stuff from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. That is, if it's not raining. If you have not liked Barkville's Facebook page, please do so to see all of our awesome updates from adoptions and pics of the incredible transformations so many of our dogs experience once they receive good care for the first time in their lives. If you've been considering becoming a foster or would just like to volunteer to be a handler at events or give some of our dogs freedom rides from shelters, which is super, super rewarding, please go to our website, barkvillerescue.org, and sign up. And it's wacky. It's crazy, it's nuts, but yes, all of the animals are still free at Gwinnett County this month, and even zanier than that is that it includes spay, neuter, microchip, and vaccination, so please tell anyone you know that is considering adding a new addition to the family. Also, if you see someone leaving their pet out in freezing temps without adequate shelter, please report them to your local animal control. You can do it anonymously, or if you don't care if the piece of shit owner knows it's you, that's cool too. So spay, neuter, adopt, don't shop, and keep it canine.
Woof! John Glazer has more gear, more power,
the jackhammer,
and more budget for cool shots. Model parent.
You're a natural Jewish athlete, just like your father.
Loving husband.
Well, you've been spending so much time with your fake me that I decided to get a fake you.
Renaissance man.
Why don't we take your shirt off?
That seems fun.
What? It wasn't sexual, Coley. It's artistic. I mean, look at these. They're beautiful.
This season, John Glazer is ready to swing into high gear.
This couple, they propositioned the two of you to have sex?
I said yes immediately. This chicken needs to get off the fence. What are those?
Geary, play the sweet cleat song.
He's on his feet. He can't be beat. Walking down the street. You feel the heat tenderizing me inside of you. Sweet cleats.
Whether he's hiding from the Russian mob, hunting werewolves, or demonstrating how to properly use cool gear, John Glazer has consistently been making people laugh since his days writing for the Conan O'Brien show. You may know him as Laird from the HBO show Girls or Jeremy Jam, the slimiest councilman in Pawnee, but chances are this dude has put a smile on your face more than once. We were lucky enough to get John to call in and talk to us about season 2 of John Glazer Loves Gear and all kinds of other stuff. If you aren't already a fan, you will be.
Hey!
Howdy.
Hey.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, definitely. I hope you're okay with us just freaking out over you the whole time and lavishing you with compliments. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be great. I won't say a word.
We're both huge fans, for sure. And I'm also a fellow Detroiter. I've got my Boblo Island hoodie on tonight.
Wow.
Did you ever go when you were living there?
I don't think I ever went to Boblo. There was like a few places that were some of the classic Detroit places to go, like Boblo, Belle Isle, and then what was the, I just had it in my head, the Dirt Bombs do a song about it, not Coney Island, the amusement park it was in, starts with a C, I think it was in Ohio.
Oh, Cedar Point, and yeah.
Cedar Point.
And you never went to any of those places? There.
Never went to Cedar Point.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was never into rides, and I went to Cedar Point.
Well, you're like so into gear, so that would make me think that you would be into, I don't know why, that you would be into rides and stuff. Well,
yeah, I'm into gear, but not fear.
Well,
roller coasters I do not enjoy, although I feel like I just was too chicken to try. Maybe I would really love it if I tried.
Probably. I wouldn't do it now because I have noticed the viscosity in my brain now that I'm older. It's not fun now. It's like it's a kid thing. The older you get, I know you're a very gifted athlete.
One of the great Jewish athletes.
He's Sandy Koufax.
One of my favorite running jokes in the show. The way that originated, although I wonder if I don't want to, someone was One of the someone on our crew, I don't want to say who it was or what department, because I don't want them to, by chance, I don't even know if they would read this or hear this. We were interviewing, well, just like the randomness. I didn't mean that as an insult to the show.
No, I know. I know.
Like the randomness of, but just we were interviewing someone to work on the show the first season, and they just started telling a story about their boyfriend, and just very matter of factly said, "Yeah, you know, and he's a really, you know, he's a natural Jewish athlete." And I remember looking at one of the women from who I work with, this woman, Allison Levy, she's part of PFFR, the production company. And we were like trying not just, we both just looked at each other kind of like with one of those, you heard that, right? And we couldn't stop laughing after. And then we ended up just, you know, and as soon as the interview was done and the person left, we both went, that has to be in the show. It's just, you know, it's just such a weird thing to say, but anyway, it was very fun. She's great. We ended up hiring her for the job she applied for, and she's really good at, but man, that was just such an odd thing to hear someone say and not be ironic or trying to be funny.
Have you seen him perform? Can you verify that it's true?
I cannot. And I believe they are no longer together.
Well, I always wonder where you get your ideas, because some of the things that you come up with, I know in Delocated, when you were tapping across America, just the songs that you do, the tapping on empty, I still sing that a lot.
Oh, man, those come up in my iPod, you know, they're all, or in my iTunes, they'll just come up every now and then when I'm listening to stuff on shuffle. That was all the Delocated music was me and a guy named Chris Anderson, who I think also does a lot of the PFFR music. Extremely funny, funny guy, great musician, and then just has a very uncanny ability to make very annoying music.
Is he doing the Sweet Cleats song? Is that from him too?
No, I ended up, and it was nothing against Chris. He's so good and so funny. But another friend of mine who I just kind of wanted to work with, I ended up hiring for Gear, and he did the Gear theme song, and he did Sweet Cleats, and that's James McNew, who's also the bass player from the band Yola Tango.
Oh, wow.
And he's a really, really also equally great musician and also very funny and has good comedy instincts. And he did Sweet Cleats.
Oh, it's our...
a lot of the music is also just like collaborations with me and the guys that actually make the music, where I might have an idea for a song and I'll just kind of sing it for them either over the phone or in a voicemail and send it to them. And then they do all the actual musicianship and add a lot of really great things and make it way better and stupider and more annoying. You know, it's all like, where all the like stupid, really annoying licks or whatever is required to get maximum annoyance.
Speaking of ideas, you had said you had a good concept for Delocated Season 4. Has there been any momentum in trying to get that to happen?
No, as much as I tried, I really loved the idea where I thought it would be such a funny way to bring a show back where the character, you know, the where John is, you know, he's clearly lost his mind. It's tough to say this without giving a mild spoiler alert where he's, you know, living in the woods in Russia and, you know, and he slowly just lost his mind. And he, you know, had this quest for fame or this thirst for fame that never quite got fully quenched. You know, he always envisioned himself being a, you know, famous TV celebrity. And so the idea was that he would make this cartoon that would have been what he envisioned his life like in LA, and it would have been extremely just delusional, really just crazy. And because it's animated, he could, you know, it could have been whatever crazy idea he wanted. And then, you know, the animation style would have been really crude, as if he had just bought his own computer and taught himself how to draw and just was holed up in the cabin by himself making these cartoons and putting them online, which I thought would have been a really funny way to do the show and make it animated, which would be cool. But I think it just felt like, you know, for them, it just felt like, oh, it's done. Let's just be done with it, which is totally fine. But I was bummed. I thought, oh, this would be so fun. Fans would love it. It's a cool way to bring the show back. I did at least have a friend of mine make a short, like a minute and a half demo version of that that I played at a live Delocated show that I did last October. And it was really cool. This guy, his name's Christy Caracas. He did that show, Super
right,
Jail.
Super Jail.
You know that show?
Yeah.
I love Super
oh, man.
Jail.
Super Jail is awesome. And he was kind enough to help me with it. And I haven't posted it online yet. I think Adult Swim asked, and I just said, no, let's just leave it as it is. Because, you know, it almost felt like, no, if you want to make it, give you this thing that I made to just put out there. But I also feel like, oh, maybe I will, and maybe people will love it, and they'd say yes, but I don't think they will. But maybe I'll post it at some point, because it is pretty awesome. And we just stuck this Pantera song on, and it's really
oh, which
really
Pantera
great.
Song?
Oh, what's it called? I honestly only have one, because Steve Service turned me on to him. Oh, man, I'm on my laptop. It's going to take me a second. I don't want this to be dead radio air.
I didn't know if it was going to be like, if it was really hardcore, like fucking Hostile. That's one of their.
Exactly what it is.
Fucking Hostile.
Yep.
I love that song.
It's awesome. I don't know any other Pantera songs, but Service. I think I asked him to, like, give me a couple songs just for, you know, working out. He said this one. That's one of the ones he suggested.
That's a good one.
Pretty good.
Domination. That would be another good one, too. That's another Pantera song. It's pretty intense.
I'll look it up.
The fact that you brought up Steve, was Delocated the first time you guys started working together? I mean, he's pretty much on every project you do.
Yes. I did not know Steve ahead of time or before Delocated. He just got cast through auditioning, and he was, you know, and he auditioned pretty late, too. We were kind of trying to cast his part and having trouble, which I thought was strange. You know, I thought this will be an easy part. There's a lot of good, you know, character actors in New York. I'm sure we'll find someone just, you know, an unknown and who will be really incredible. And we just, for whatever reason, weren't seeing a lot of really good people. And we were close to having to make a decision before we started shooting, and we would have absolutely had to settle with the choice we had. It would have been more of like, well, this guy's not really intimidating physically, but I guess he'll be like a Joe Pesci type scary guy. And thankfully, Steve, you know, like, and then Steve came along, and it was just one of those, holy shit. You know, not only like last minute, but this guy is unbelievable. His audition, I wish I would have had the presence of mind to just, you know, put that on a, you know, CD or a DVD for myself to keep. Or I know I sound like a grandpa saying DVD, but that was, you know, this was 2008. But his audition was amazing. I mean, you know, you see him in the show, he's so good. But that's where I met him. And it just, when we came time to cast me on Joe, that sheriff role was the same thing, where we were auditioning people and there's plenty of good actors we're seeing, but no, you know, we had already talked about Steve would be so good for the role, but kind of were at first hesitant to do, you know, cast people from Delocated. And then it just felt like let's just cast him. He'll be the best for the role. We know him. Plenty of people do that all the time. You find someone you like working with him and you keep working with him. So, and then the same thing with Gear.
Will there be any more Neon Joe?
As of now, no. That's what I've been told, is that it's not going to happen. You know, there was some big corporate merger that happened, and I guess it affected a lot of budgets. And, you know, to be fair, Neon Joe is an expensive show for Adult Swim. I was hoping we would have at least one more season, since it's only 5 shows. And maybe that'll change, but I doubt it. So as of now, no, but which is too bad, but it was also fun to make, so no complaints. I was lucky to get to do it from such a stupid nothing joke.
Our Radio Labyrinth host, Tim, is going over to Adult Swim to record some lines for Squidbillies, so maybe we'll have him...
Put
a bug in somebody's ear.
Chat you up with Dave Willis. Yeah. Maybe he can get on this animated thing.
You should just walk around and say, boy, I wish Neon Joe was coming back.
When I go have lunch with him, I'll say, hey, you guys need to get Glazer in there.
Please. For sure.
He did appear on Aqua Teen, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, I was rewatching season one of Neon Joe just recently over the past couple of weeks, and the tip shades, who came up with that?
Man, I'm trying to think. That certainly sounds like, you know, the two guys that I do the bulk of the writing with are John Lee and Vernon Chapman from the previously mentioned PFFR, and they're just so funny. They're really two of the funniest guys you'll ever meet, and brilliant writers, very smart. That seems like one of those guys probably came up with Tip Shades. I can't remember for sure. But yeah, man, oh man.
How do you spell him?
I spell it. It's one of the, yeah, I always like to see how fans spell, like, the fur from Delocated, which I always just spell F-R-R-T. You know, it's certainly open to interpretation, but I always spelled Heump, like in the scripts, H-E-Y-U-M-P.
Oh, okay. Steph almost like spelled it right, and she just got the hyphen in there.
I was close.
Yeah, Heump.
That was like such a, and I don't care how many times you said it. It was funny every time, like you hadn't just said it 10 times.
Oh, man, we tried to say it as much as possible, and we even, you know, would sneak him in. I don't know if you ever noticed any of the real, like, quiet ones that we just would sneak in, like when, I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, if you're ever watching the show again, and it's not a lot of them, but, you know, like something where I'm, like, putting my gun back in the holster, we might have had, like, a hum. Really low where it's not necessarily obvious, but those always made me laugh so hard.
Oh, when you were passing out after you got poisoned or drugged and you were like, my thrombone, when you said every single time you did that. Well, I wanted to ask you, what do you think Jeremy Jam would do about the wall if he were president?
Oh, God. I'm sure he'd be all for it.
Is he free?
Yes. What's that?
Is he free? I need a guy that'll help me.
Oh, Jesus. You know, it's funny. I've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec lately because my son, who's 12, has really been starting to watch him a lot now that he's kind of old enough to see it. I say kind of because they're still like, oh, maybe that's a little inappropriate, but it's mostly fine. But he's watching a lot of it right now and he really likes it. And there's also plenty of episodes, even ones that I was in, that I haven't even seen. And it's been really fun to watch with him. And that show is just incredible how, you know, how many things they were doing that are so relevant right now. It's really strange, but it's almost too bad it's not on right now. But even like a show like Veep, like you can't even parody what's happening.
Right.
Like, real life is just, you can't even believe it's real. It's really, really.
We got a lot of cheeseburgers, many, many French fries.
Boy, that was weird.
It was weird, but you know, those kids were like, I'm going to eat 6 cheeseburgers.
Well, sure, they were pumped.
Scarfing it.
I don't, Big Macs are only good for 5 minutes anyway. You know, this has been out for like an hour.
Today. I had a Big Mac today. Sorry.
Well, I wouldn't just want, are we any closer to seeing Quick Rush co-starring Mike Shannon on the big screen?
I wish. I loved that joke. There was we did a thing too in Neon Joe. I don't know if you ever noticed that. There was a thing in season 2 where we meet the, oh my God, how can I not think of his name? The other werewolf hunter. Wow, this is embarrassing. the rival werewolf hunter that shows up in season 2.
Oh my God, why can't I think of it either? We're all drawing a blank. But you're the worst because you should know this.
Well, yeah, this is terrible. And then we have that there's that gossip show, Tip of the Buzz, and she's talking about how he was at a movie premiere, and we used Quick Rush as like the backdrop of the interview section where people are getting their photos taken.
Oh my God, I didn't even notice that.
It's really a stupid detail that you have to kind of be like, oh shit, look at that.
Okay, I definitely got to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Well, all your...
I'm more upset that I cannot think of his character's name. Well, Godfrey played the guy, but I cannot think of the...
character's name.
Plaid?
Oh my God.
Plaid Jeff.
No? Plaid Jeff. I knew it was something stupid. Plaid Jeff. Oh, brother.
So
yes, Plaid Jeff.
Let's talk a little bit about John Glazer Loves Gear, because we love that show, and we're one episode in already. We want to know if your original spurt's going to make it out of the woods okay, what kind of cool gear we're going to see, and if you had any favorite gear that you're going to be featuring on the show, and we also want to know if you get to keep all that shit.
And you get money for advertising for these people.
I wish. I think everyone assumes I'm just making all this money from these companies, and it's $0. You know, the where we benefit is, you know, with the show, where we are not paying for stuff, which saves money in our budget, or it's loaned to us and it's returned. Some stuff I get to keep, some stuff gets returned. You know, I'm not sitting on this bounty of flat screen TVs or anything like that, but it's a good amount of cool things that I like. You know, like I got a really nice running watch, you know, the running watch from season one was the actual, I got to keep that watch. It's a really good one. Although it's still great. But several years later, there's already way cooler watches, right. You know, all this different technology. Like mine is not a touchscreen. You know, it's right. still a great watch, but I feel like, oh, I want the touchscreen one with the color. But, you know, I got that custom bike in season one, which was pretty awesome to get. So I have a fair amount of cool things I got, but it's things like, you know, a good jacket and a bunch of great wool socks and all great items, but no big massive luxury items besides the bike, which is a really good one.
And the hat. That's a sweet hat.
I got it. Listen, I love hats. If I get a hat, I'm happy. So, got a lot of good hats. Are you talking about the baseball hat?
Yeah, the baseball cap.
I mean, really, you can't, that's, you know, that you can't even put like a, that's not even something you'd put, oh, I got this really kick-ass item I couldn't afford. You know, that's just, you can't put a price tag on that. I mean, that was a real thing. That's really my freshman year of high school baseball hat. And they replicated it to the detail. They had dead stock tags in Buffalo at their headquarters. I mean, it's the exact same tag. That is from 1983. So the fact that they had those laying around, they hand cut the front of the hat, they hand cut the L's, every piece of stitching. I mean, really, really cool. I barely even wear that hat because I don't want it to get all beat up.
Right.
And the original joke was going to be, we were going to send the original hat to get fixed. And while it was getting fixed, they made the replicas to originally get destroyed. Like, we were just going to beat them up and make them all dirty. So when the real hat was getting fixed, that one would be the fake real hat. And then when they sent it to us, it was just so stunning looking. There was no way I could destroy it. So we changed the joke a little bit to be just a replica as opposed to the actual hat. But it looks so good. It's the exact same thing. And they did offer actually to fix the actual hat, which someday I'd like to do because I still have it and it's perfectly wearable once it gets a new brim.
Right. The brim is always what goes.
Oh, man, that thing is so destroyed inside. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. I can't tell you if Spurt's coming back or not. Maybe he is, but maybe he's not. It's very possible he won't. And there's only one way to find out. And that's to keep watching. So we shall see. But Bowen Yang, who plays the new Spurt, is a really funny guy. He actually is writing on SNL right now. And I think he just got hired for some show in Comedy Central. I think he's a guy that is just going places. Really, really talented, extremely funny, and he's great in the show.
And he won't upstage that. The real host.
What's right.
That? He won't upstage you at all.
I mean, that's the joke, but he certainly holds his own. He's very, very funny and plays that very well.
Well, John, we have had an absolute blast talking to you.
Thanks so much with us.
If you're ever in Atlanta, because we could talk to you forever, please come in. We would love to have you in the studio.
Sure, that'd be great.
Well, good luck, and we will definitely be watching. And anything you do in the future,
TV Wednesdays, 10:30.
Gear,
please do it. 10:30. Yeah. Well, thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, John, real quick, this is Tim. Do you got anything coming up that you want to plug? Any events or any shows? I mean aside from TV.
Yeah, I don't know when this is going to air. I'm doing something this weekend. I'm doing a few shows in San Francisco this weekend as part of that Sketchfest festival, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We're doing a gear show, me and John Hodgman, on Saturday the 19th. And then I'm doing a few other random shows, one tomorrow and a couple on Friday. You know, you can go look at the schedule website in Sketchfest to get all the details. But Hodgman and I are doing a gear show at 4:00 on the 19th. I think it's Cobb's Comedy Club. And then I'm actually doing a couple solo shows, one in Seattle this Sunday night at Columbia City Theater, and then The Next Night in Portland at Mississippi Studios. I think that one's sold out, but if people want to try to get tickets, by all means. The Seattle one, I think there's still a lot of tickets left for that one. And that's it as of now to plug.
And we're fans of Sketchfest also. We had Janet Varney on the podcast a while back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
it's a fun festival. I mean, there's so many shows. It's fun to get to go to San Francisco, and, you know, invariably you just know a ton of people there whatever weekend you end up playing it. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing some friends and just hanging out and being in the city and trying to get a trail run in. And, yeah.
Well, break a leg. And
yeah.
Thanks again for
that. Have a great show, man. Thanks
for,
a lot.
For the int.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
One Topic is the name of the new podcast that Greg and I have started. Greg Russ from the Von Hessler Doctrine, who does the segment. There's two segments, Tech Tuesday and from Studio B1. We've started our own little baby podcast. It's where we try and stick to just one topic. We do tend to veer off from those topics, but the sort of game is that we always have to direct ourselves back to the topic that where we started. So it's really fun. You can find it on iTunes. We're through Podbean, which I think has an RSS feed if you are an Android user or whatever else you use. I don't know how those things work. But One Topic. And you spell out the one, obviously, O-N-E-T-O-P-I-C.
All right. So Jeff found an article online, or did you find it, Steph?
It was Jeff.
Written by a guy named Eric Connor, and it's on the site Ranker, where you vote on everything. It says, the headline is the 1980s comedy, when you put comedy in quotes. It's a fucking comedy. Revenge of the Nerds was a nightmare of homophobia, racism, and sexual assault, which to me sounds like a recipe for a good time.
Well, on the episode we did with Tony Reams, we talked a little bit about...
Right, Tony Reams. But plug that real quick.
Right, we had Tony Reams, filmmaker, who...
Special episode.
Yeah, just he's made a couple of movies and shorts and doing good stuff. Local Atlanta filmmaker. We just had him in studio for an interview, and we put that out as a bonus episode.
Yeah, check it out. So we were talking about Revenge of the Nerds, So he made a list of, what were they, a bunch of different things. So the first thing on the list is Lewis tricks Betty into having sex, where he dresses up as that fake Darth Vader character, like, or Stormtrooper or whatever, and he goes into the bounce house. Now, in order for to understand what we're talking about, you have to have seen this movie, and I'm sure if you're out there, and especially if you're a guy, you've seen it 1,000 times, and you're our age.
And if you're a nerd.
You probably had a VHS copy of it where some of the parts, the tracking is off because you paused it.
Huh?
What the fuck's a fresh?
Maybe we could have Robster Cross. What the fuck are Robster Cross? She's not that kind of girl, booger. Why does she have a penis?
When he's riding the tricycle, Dei Chi,
Dei Chi, Dai O Chi O Mio. I don't know, whatever. As I've gotten older, I play that scene in my mind, it is kind of, well, it's not kind of, it's creepy and rapey.
He didn't rape her, though.
Well, I mean, sort of. Well, yeah.
Pretending to be somebody that she would have sex with to have sex with her when he's a person that she would not have sex with.
Right.
Makes it rape, technically.
Technically. But we've all done it.
That's a,
she had consensual sex with the person.
Yeah.
If you like it, it's not rape.
Right. Well, you know, Luke and Laura on the original General Hospital, you know, Luke and Laura from the 70s and 80s, he raped her in a van and she fell in love with him after that.
Yeah.
And then they got together and
was it a rape van?
Yes, it was. It was her husband's
van.
Well,
what are you talking about? Khaleesi and the Dothraki. Yeah.
Well, that's his nature as a Muslim.
Khaled Drogo.
Oh, wait a minute. He's not... Yeah. All right. So the second thing.
By the way, 54 people, because it's Ranker, you can vote. 54% of the people say it's not offensive.
Right. That's probably everybody who voted on that was 45 and up.
Right.
Number two, the nerds secretly filmed the Delta Pi pies. In one of the many moments that could have and should have ended in an arrest, writes the author, the nerds break into the Pi Delta Pi sorority house for a panty raid. Obviously, that is a violation of privacy.
It is, but they were a bunch of bitches.
Well, they were.
That totally ruined their party.
It.
And they were totally shitty to those big girls at their party.
Right.
And put those hogs in there. So fuck them. They deserved it.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
I feel like this is a karma thing. No, you don't just go do that to nice girls. You don't go and put cameras and shit in their house. But if these bitches strike first, then you fucking fire back. Fuck them. You started it. You get it back.
All right.
Number three, the nerds sell the naked pictures of Betty that they got from the... it's funny how they had these... You know, you have to assume that back in 1984 or 5, whenever this movie came out, that they didn't have a really good technology for the cameras. But somehow they have this posed photo of Betty where she's showing her tits and they're perfect. But anyway.
But they're not.
The camera
feed. Boobs are weird.
They're at the Greek festival, the Greek games, and the Lambda guys and the Moos are selling pies. And it's just a whipped cream inside of a pie pan, and at the bottom of the pie pan is Betty naked. So, as part of the Greek games, Lambda needs to do a fundraiser. Their solution is disgusting, to say the least. They put... We will, definitely. Because the whole thing, it should just be called Problematic, the movie. yeah, if you did that today, you'd be in jail, and you certainly wouldn't be able to tour with Louis C.K. It's definitely a Me Too type of thing, and it's certainly illegal.
Yeah. Tim's up. I mean, time's up.
Hey. Here's one I don't really care about. Gay men, Asians, and the blind are repeatedly mocked.
You can't do that Asian stereotype anymore.
Oh, help, hi. Help, hi.
You just can't do that anymore.
You can't, but it's funny. Takashi is the guy's name. He mispronounces every word. And Lamar, the gay guy running with the lamp. He's throwing a javelin, and the javelin is scientifically... you know, for aerodynamics, whatever, but it's bouncing while he's on.
Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody, clap your hands.
We're Lambda, and Omega Mu.
But, you know, they made them look very cool.
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, I don't understand. Maybe they showed the stereotype or whatever, but they were saying, you know what, they might be stereotypes, and they do exist, or there wouldn't be such a thing, but they're cool.
But in the modern parlance, they don't take into consideration intent. They only take into consideration the words.
I still say it's only reality if you accept it.
Help. Hi. So if you look at the ranking on here, 836 people find it offensive. 1,999 people think it's not.
Oh, very
the
good.
Only thing, I thought this next one, number five, the only thing the alpha betas fear are the black men. Now that,
It's so true.
I know.
You know it's true.
But when, okay, you go back, transport yourself back to the 80s when I watched this movie. I saw these guys come in. They're the fucking heroes of the movie.
Oh, sure. Jefferson Davis?
I was like, oh, these black. No, I'm like, these dudes are cool as shit. I want to be a tri-lamb.
Yeah, of course.
Because he comes in and goes, now, you coach, you just stop it or whatever he says. And when they invite the two guys to their mixer.
Oh, yeah, it's so great.
And everybody's bored until, you know, booger.
Wonder joints.
But I disagree with this. And here's what he writes. At the pep rally, the alpha betas and their coach seem to be unstoppable and mean. After the players attack Gilbert, the coach is about to knock out the Dean Wormer. No, it's not Dean Wormer. Until the main chapter of the Lambdas arrive, immediately the coach and the team calm down because in the nerds universe, nothing scares these degenerates more than a dozen well-dressed black men. And you know what? Probably. But then you look at the rankers, 690 find it offensive, 2,000. Plus, find it non-offensive. Because it's not. It's just a stupid thing. Number six, Gilbert is also almost beaten to death in front of hundreds of people. He tries to take the microphone away at the pep rally, and then, you know, they threaten to beat him up. It's kind of stupid. Number seven, hate speech runs rampant at Adams College. I don't know. That's not hate speech. So, yeah, the ratio on this one, you got ratioed, pal. Coach Harris, six an enraged football team on the nerds. You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of goddamn nerds. Nerds! Now, I don't know about you.
Roseanne
just got her ass whipped. Coach Harris is mad. Again, this is a simple trope. They're dressed as the cheerleaders and all that stupid. The ratio again. The alpha betas throw freshmen out the window. That's not offensive. They burn down the house with no consequence. That is offensive to me because they should have got arrested.
Oh, for sure.
But they get him back in Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Oh, God.
The Greek Council has unlimited power. Everybody knew then, and everybody knows now, that is not the truth about anything, and it's just a movie plot to push the narrative. And it's not offensive, and it's stupid. You know J.D. Salinger's son is in this movie, right?
I didn't know that, yeah.
J.D. Salinger's son is the second jock that's hanging out
whatever, Ted, what's his name? Ted?
Ted Knight?
Ted McGinnis. Ted McGinley. Ted McGinley.
Has he seen J.D. Salinger?
Who?
His son? Yeah, his
well, I'm sure he did at one point.
Probably seen him.
Yeah, I didn't. J.D. Salinger's son, he was in. There are no rules at Adam College. I'm even going to read that one. That's dumb. So all in all, I have to say that, you know, this guy's just looking for hits, maybe.
Yeah, this is total clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you want to read the whole thing, and we'll post a link to it, but it's Eric Connor is the author, and it's on Ranker.com, Why Revenge of the Nerds is So Creepy.
Dum, 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 dum.
Dum, 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 dum. So we have a new thing on our Patreon page where people can tell us what they're watching or give us snap picks. So we have a couple people telling us what they're watching. Ryan O'Connor is watching the new season of Vikings on History. It's helping him survive until the next and final season of Game of Thrones, which comes out, what, April?
Yeah.
April 5th, 14th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, not necessarily super historically accurate, it's really entertaining, not to mention the characters are really layered, interesting, and well-acted, in Ryan's opinion. Yeah, it is a good show. Lou Caniglio is watching a lot of the Cookie Monster movie parodies with his 18-month-old daughter, especially the Biscotti Kid and Star S'mores. I got to check that out. I don't have a kid.
The Biscotti Kid. I just love the name of that.
I would love that. Christopher Cosentino is watching the Titan Games. Is that that show with The Rock?
Yeah.
I watched some of that the other night. That's insane.
I missed it. I wanted to check it out.
I like The Rock.
I love it.
Put him in anything, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. I like The Rock.
I wouldn't vote for him for president.
I wanted to check this one out.
What one?
Adam Kelly's.
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a second. And he's watching Mythbusters Jr. What's Mythbusters Jr.? I would figure you would know that.
They have a bunch of kids doing science experiments. I thought...
Do they have those mutton chops and the mustaches?
I thought this Mythbusters Jr. was this new.
That was always my problem.
They had this reality show to cast.
Yeah.
A new Mythbusters.
Okay.
They had a whole reality show. They whittled like 20 people down to 2 people, and those people are now the Mythbusters, and they do their own show. And I thought that was Mythbusters Jr., but no, they just do.
All right.
Regular Mythbusters, but it's not on Discovery Channel anymore. It's on like Science Channel.
They're just small myths.
All right. Yeah. Myth.
No, there's other ones just kids doing like science experiments and shit.
So we got so much more that we could talk about tonight, but we're about to wrap up. You know, we got a little bit left to do.
I'll talk about Adam Kelly's.
Do staff picks. That's a staff pick.
Oh, okay.
So I'll announce that during staff picks. I'm going to read what I've been watching, and we're going to save the conversation for next week.
Ah.
That one thing.
Ah.
What do you mean, ah?
It's fine.
We can maybe tiptoe in it a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Let's tiptoe in it a little bit. But the other thing, we're going to get to True Detective next week, because I'll tell you why. My wife has had the flu, and so we haven't been watching. We watch that show together. There's very few shows that we sit and watch together all the time.
Oh.
And she's been sick, so we haven't been able to watch it.
We'll just say
so you lied in the thing and said that you watched it, but you didn't.
It's back.
I had planned on it.
I planned on it. Well,
with a great actor, with a great cast, and it looks
phenomenal.
Amazing.
And
it wasn't really lying. I planned on watching it.
It's good again.
It is good again.
Yes.
It's totally got the same vibe from the first one. And all right, fine. I'll leave it alone.
So, we'll talk about it in depth next week.
Yes. Sounds good.
Fine.
Very good.
I didn't watch that much. We've been so in this Game of Thrones thing. It's ridiculous. We've been watching it like it's our job. Like we watch it in the morning. Yeah. Oh my god. It's so much better the second time around because there are so many freaking characters and so much shit in the show that you can't really take it all in one viewing. You got to watch it again. And because now we'll be watching episode and be like, oh yeah, now I get, oh yeah, okay, all right, yeah. We're almost up to 6. We just finished the episode whenever John and they go to the freaking ice island and they show up and turn everybody and crap at the end. It's such a creepy scene at the end. And then at the end they all stand up, all the dead ones stand up or whatever. Such a great episode. And yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, that's coming. Shame's coming. Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, they just threw her bitch ass in the dungeon and shit, and they're cracking her in the head with the spoon and all that crap. So I'm loving that. But I'll probably fast forward through the shame part.
Shame.
I fast forwarded through all of the Theon torture stuff. I just couldn't watch it again. It's too much for me. I didn't even like it whenever he was pretending to eat his dick and it was just a sausage. I felt so bad for him, even though he deserved a lot of it. It just got to a point where I was like, okay. Other than that, I watched the first episode of the new season of John Glazer Loves Gear, which was hilarious. As it's just as good as it was last season.
Good job with the interview, you guys.
Thanks. It was too much fun. He's such a comedy hero of mine.
Nice guy too.
I love him. And, you know, he's from my hometown. He's from Southfield, Michigan. Yeah. On the west side. But anyway.
West side, best side.
And then True Detective, which we'll talk about next week. And I'm watching Life After Porn, part 3 on Netflix.
Oh, there's a part 3?
Yeah.
I've watched that. That's a good show.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to find
Who's
out what they're... the Indian one, Priya, what's her face?
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
And, I haven't finished it all. I'm midway or whatever. I started to watch it because, you know, I watch shows on my lunch hour and I couldn't watch it.
After porn ends, right?
Yeah, I couldn't watch it in the lunchroom.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So I couldn't watch it in the lunchroom because I was afraid somebody would see me watching it and, you know, where you don't know where it's going to go to. So then I switched it to what the people in the lab were talking about, that sex education. Yeah. Yeah, couldn't watch that really much in the lunchroom either.
Wait, so I've got Joanna Angel's in this. She's still in porn, isn't she? Or did she stop?
I guess not.
Buck Angel. And it says himself, like Buck Angel is a man. Christy Canyon, Manuel Ferrara.
Who's the Indian girl that I'm talking about?
Oh, Christy Canyon's in it?
Yeah, Tara Patrick, Priya Ray.
Yeah, Priya Ray. Yeah.
Herschel Savage. So they're just talking to other people. Who are the primaries? Stars, Buck Angel, Joanna Angel, Christy Canyon. Oh, well.
I'll watch it.
It's interesting. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Check that out. Jeff, what are you watching?
I finished watching season 1 of Get Shorty.
Good, wasn't it?
Starting season 2.
Where is season 2? Netflix or on demand?
It's on Epics.
Oh.
Paying for it.
I paid for a month of Epics so I could watch season 2 because it was so fucking good.
I'll wait for it to come on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't pay for it.
Mm-mm. I do. Anyway, go ahead.
I finished Kaminsky Method. That was really good, too, on Netflix. And we talked a little bit about Valley of the Boom on National Geo. That was good.
You have I'm Sorry on here. Did your daughter ask you to show your clitoris?
No, that show's hilarious.
I'm Sorry. I can't believe you guys don't watch
it. I just don't like that girl.
That's the lead into. She irritates me.
She's funny. You don't like her?
She doesn't make me laugh. I do not like. It's just something
about her. The show makes me
laugh.
I know. I know. I get that vibe off of her, too.
It's all very manufactured.
It is.
It's not natural.
But it's funny, I think, the reactions that people give. Because she acts like.
Listen to her on the ID10T podcast with Chris Hardwick.
What is her name again? Tell her name.
Andrea Savage. She dated Hardwick back in like.
Who did?
When he was a drunk.
So what did I watch? I watched, you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched Murder Mountain, a couple episodes of that on Netflix.
Is that good?
It was pretty interesting, yeah. I kind of got into it. No.
Yeah, no
or Wolverton Mountain, because.
They say don't go.
Clifton Clower, he didn't like. Clifton Clower. I've watched the shitty NFL playoffs. Don't need to
I
get into that.
I just watched the Jeffries drop and.
The what?
At the end of the Eagles game,
Jeffries. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Weren't you happy that the Eagles got beat at least?
No.
I was loving it.
Jeff was.
I hate the Eagles.
Anybody but the Patriots is my motto.
I hope the Chiefs make it all the way,
so
man.
I,
come
they're,
on, Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Yeah, Dirty Chiefs. John finale. That was pretty good.
I'm only in the middle of that. I got to keep going with it.
I never got into that.
You didn't like the podcast?
Either.
I like the podcast. But again, I come down on the side of where I don't buy her in that role because she's always been a strong female. Well, she's certainly a female empowerment actress in everything she's been in lately.
Yeah.
You know, that 911 show and, or is that what it's called? It's on Fox, 911.
I think it's 911.
Something like that. And then, you know, of course, on Nashville, she was the woman in charge of everything. But she, I don't buy her in this role. And she's a good actress.
Who do you think they should have cast in it?
Anybody.
No, come on. It would have to be somebody like her that's vulnerable and sweet but dingy. But, you know what I mean? Like, what actress do you think could pull it off?
I'd have to think about it for a minute.
All right.
Somebody that age that would be able to play it. I think most of the rest of the cast is pretty good. Eric Bana is great.
He is really good.
And for a Lifetime produced TV show, it ain't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bravo.
Yeah.
It's their first original scripted drama or whatever.
I did American Splendor. Watch that again.
Oh, I love that movie.
Great movie. You and I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I know, but I think I made her watch it one time.
Oh, you made her watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. I love Hope Davis in that.
I love her in that as well.
She's so
fantastic. Good. Fantastic. Nobody in that movie I don't like. Mm-hmm. James Urbanek, or however you say it.
Your Baniac, how do you say?
Judah Friedlander.
I think so, you're right.
Harvey, I'm going to Toledo to see a movie called Revenge of the Nerds. She's a nerd. She drinks tea. Dexter. Okay, so they've been showing Dexter on Showtime. Yeah. And season four, so fucking good, right? We've talked about this ad nauseum. So then I watched season five. I haven't seen it since it aired. And I don't know why I got caught in this, but I'm finishing it. Just punishing myself.
And six? What the
hell? Well, hang on now. So I don't find season five to be that problematic. I really like the character of Lumen. I know you don't like, what do you call her, Shovel Face or something?
Pan Face.
Pan Face. I think she's a good character.
This is the one with Colin Hanks, right?
No, that's season six.
Oh, okay.
Season five is all about the, you know, those guys, the rich guy, the self-help guy, who, you know, they kidnap the girls and then they rape them and they put them in the barrels.
Oh, yeah.
And that season was pretty good. I finished it. Season six is the one with Colin Hanks and Edward James Olmos. And I'm not going to spoil any of it because, like, we have a radio.
Amber.
Amber Gilpatrick is she's gotten to the point now where she has to slog through the rest of the seasons. I don't have that much of a problem with season six either. It's watchable. I really like Dexter, the character.
Yeah.
And the actor. Can't stand his sister. Never liked her at all.
Oh, Deb.
Yeah, Deb. One of my favorite things in season four is that it's... so spoiler alert.
I think you're supposed to say spoiler alert before you do the spoiler.
She finished season four.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
You know that for a fact?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I hope. Sorry.
I don't think she... Because she was saying she was in the Dokes era.
No, she said she watched the Dokes era. Oh. That's where she knew. Anyway, I feel bad now. But anyway, season six, I don't really find it to be that problematic. But then you get to season seven, and you have the woman from Handmaid's Tale. What's her name? Yvonne Strahovski or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget her name.
She's a good actress.
She's a great actress, but that season really sucks. And then, of course, season eight. I don't remember anything about season eight at all other than how shitty it was.
So bad.
But I'm going to watch them all.
Okay.
And then I
don't know why you would do that when there's like
so
actual good shit to watch, but you're going to sit and watch some old shit that you hated.
True Detective, but you're watching.
I can't watch that by myself.
Dexter.
Can't watch it by myself. And you know what? You listen to the same songs over and over again, so don't give me shit about watching
songs that
I like. Yeah, exactly.
Songs that I like.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't really like those last seasons. So that doesn't make any sense what you're doing.
So seasons five, six, and seven are all the last REM albums?
Yeah.
Or U2 records. That's it. But staff picks?
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Oh, you know what? I'm going to read staff pick from one of our radios.
Oh, okay.
Adam Kelly, my fish friend fan. His staff pick is No You Shut Up, an adult humor political talk show hosted by Paul F. Tompkins. Henson Company Puppet Service, political pundits and talking heads. I like it already. And debate the issues of the day until they get too angry to discuss any further. An array of actors and comedians step in each week as special guests, including Andy Daly, Bobby Moynihan, Key and Peele, Bob Odenkirk, Paul Scheer, Weird Al, Tim Meadows, Rhys Darby, and on and on and on and on. NYSU originally aired on Fusion TV from 2013 to 2016, but all episodes can be found on YouTube. Tim, I think you would be interested, being similar to your work on The Doctor and voice acting, etc. I find myself rewatching the entire series at least once a year, and I highly recommend it to all radios.
I'm going
to
check that out. Adam Kelly is kind of like he's a bit of my spirit animal as far as TV watching.
He's pretty good.
He usually likes the same things I like.
We like Paul F. Tompkins, too.
I do. Yeah, I love. He was a whole comedy cavalcade that Tim just.
He's annoying as fuck on
Paul
Twitter.
Paul Scheer,
but I like
I'm insane about.
Never seen the.
We were at a recording.
That he taped at the Laughing Skull. We were at.
Let's see. My staff picks. I'll push them real quick. Marvel's The Punisher season two drops on Netflix this week, right? Friday.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. And the Podabing podcast. If you're a Sopranos fan and you're listening to it, they have a guest now. But the previous episode where they had a guest was David Proval, who played Richie Aprile. And
did he bring a gun with him?
He talks about all those scenes. And Vic from the show, who does the interviews, is a really good interviewer when it comes, because he's passionate about the show. And David Proval talks about working with Scorsese and working with David Chase and working with all those, because he's in the first big Scorsese movie, which is what, Mean Streets?
With Keitel.
Yeah, he's in that.
Great movie.
And so if you're a Sopranos fan, of course, you'll enjoy it. So those are my staff picks.
All right. Oh, well, I'm I'm picking this early. It's not going to be on, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, January 27th on TNT. It's a miniseries called I Am the Night. I don't know if you guys have seen the previews for this, but it's coming from director Patty Jenkins from Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's doing it, her and Chris Pine. Chris Pine's the star, which I can't believe they got him for TV, but him and Patty started talking about the story because she'd been working on it for a long time. It's about the Black Dahlia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he.
Oh, this is that TBS?
It's on TNT.
TNT. Okay.
Yeah. And it's basically them going through the story of not just her, but like the daughter that supposedly might be hers. And just there's all kinds of weird, twisty, turny shit, but it's very L.A. noir.
Talking about enduring that Black Dahlia.
Well, the
won't
murder.
Go away,
well,
yeah.
The murder was so brutal,
right.
And they never did find out who did it.
Right.
And
I'm sure they know, but it's probably some Hollywood dude.
Well, there was a time where I think there was a killer at the time. They thought maybe it could have been pinned on. I'm trying to think of what it was. One of my serial killer podcasts. But anyway, I'm the Night. It looks really good, and it's only 6 episodes, and so check that out. And my other one, it's a podcast, and it's called Murderville, Georgia. Mm-hmm. So good. It's about this town in deep South Georgia, and a murder that happened there, and they put this guy away for it, and then it turns out there were 3 more murders in this little tiny town there.
Burt Reynolds kill the people with a bow and arrow?
I don't know, but the story is basically these women, they're going around, they're investigative reporters. The interviews with the local townspeople are great, and the fact that this guy is probably rotting in jail for a murder he did not commit, and they can't seem to get it overturned. When the other murders happened, they're pretty sure that this guy that killed the other 3 people in succession probably killed this one too, but they pinned it on this dude. And even though, and the dude that they pinned it on, he was not a great guy. Like, mm-hmm. He smacked his wife or girlfriend around and shit. Like, he wasn't a great person, but he wasn't a murderer.
Right.
So anyway, it's a really good show. So it's called Murderville, Georgia.
Murderville, Georgia. Cool.
I've been to Murderville, Georgia. It's awesome there.
Yeah, it's called Hampton. Murder Mountain, Murderville.
Jeff? I forget what my staff pick was.
Crashing in High Maintenance.
Oh, yeah, Crashing in High Maintenance. It's on HBO this Sunday.
Coming up next week on the show, we got Wade Harrison, who is an Atlanta artist and pop culture nerd, geek, dork, just like us.
Yay!
He's into comic books and movies, and we've met him before, and we like him a lot. Coming up on the 30th,
you're not
going to tell you. And then we have a bunch of different guests coming up in February. Jeff and I are going to be on the Wilder Ride Season 2 podcast talking about Blazing Saddles. I don't think we can spoil yet. And hopefully we'll get Josh Warren back on the show soon to talk to us about seeing Steve Martin and Martin Short. And you said what? Lace Larrabee and Jared.
I gave him the date and they're going to get back to us.
Awesome. And then I think we'll eventually be talking to Billy Atchison again from Banjo Cold Brew now that they have cans of coffee we're going to guzzle. After this podcast is out, you will find a copy of King of the Lebowski, which is the characters that Autumn and I did from King of the Hill doing a scene from The Big Lebowski. It is Casting Call Chaos. It is for patrons only, but we are doing the free HBO weekend thing where we put one of them out so you can get a glimpse of it if you hadn't had time. Next week's for patrons will be a scene from Goodfellas, and then the second week in February, or the first week, whatever, we're doing these every other week. We are going to be doing Mary Poppins with Michael Rooker and Sylvester Stallone. The movie club. Don't forget the movie club. By the end of the month, we will be dropping our first movie club, and Autumn will be posting on the Patreon page. We're going to do Coming to America, and then we'll either do Clue or Revenge of the Nerds next. So great show, guys. Again, good job with that interview. John Glazer, watch the show that he's on.
Reps Dana Gould, too, so let's try.
Ooh, let's try to get him on. You guys did a really good job, so thanks for doing that, and hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. We will talk to you again next week. Until that time, please remember to download Autumn's podcast, which is called And Keep It Canon.
This is pure Alabama Black Snake.
Radio Labyrinth is produced every single week thanks to the generosity of people like Aaron Roberts, Adam Kelly, AJ Dysart, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Andrew Mulazzi, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Brooke Sizemore, Buck Monterey, Buck Moore, Chad Shepard, Chris Colhard, Chris Knight, Chris Metzler, Chris Weiland, Christopher Costantino, Colin Oman, Dan Carroll, Daniel Pitts, Darren Downey, David C. Funk, Dean Poole, Debbie McDonald, Denise Reynolds, Dennis Davis, Dustin Lawler, Emily Warren, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kemble, Gwynne Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Ian Stull, J.B., Jamie Kirkland, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Truman, John Bennett, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Jose Perales, Joshua Schiffer, Keith Tate, Kevin Stokes, Kit Batty, Lawrence Calderman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, Lou Coniglio, Mark Jones, Mark Pierro, Mark Weiland, Marty Johnson, Matt Carter, Matt Talley, Matt Taniglia, Mike D, Mike Hall, Mike Spittler, Nicholas Frank, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan O'Connor, Ryan Newmans, Seth Ingram, Sean Hall, Sherry Doherty, Stephanie Kaminsky, Trent, Wayne Blair, Wendy Muller, and finally, Zach Pittman. Thank you to everyone who's donated to our Patreon, and please look into the new Patreon tiers and see our new benefits for 2019. Keep it canon!